Warning, this podcast talks about murder, sometimes in graphic detail, and is intended for mature audiences only.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Innocence Lost, Kids That Kill. I'm the host, Nicole, and yesterday I had some technical difficulties with recording the podcast that held me up on getting the episode released on time like I had planned. However, I did get it figured out. And hopefully, we don't have any issues today. However, this case will blow your mind. And when I say blow your mind, you're gonna seriously say, what the fuck was this kid thinking? So, this case is the murder of Blake and Mary Jo Headley by their son, Tyler Headley. And to start this case off, he was born December 16th, 1993, in Port St. Lucie, Florida. And my sources for this week's episode are Ranker.com, WPBF.com, and an article off of ATI, all that's interesting.com. Now, based on the little bit that I was snooping around in, this kid drove his parents crazy. And when I say drove his parents crazy, at 17 years old, he was having issues with his mental health and substance abuse. And his parents were super worried about him. They had sent him to numerous psychiatrists and to a couple of substance abuse programs. Well, the breaking straw for Tyler was one night he drove home drunk, and his mom had had enough at this point, and she took his phone and his car keys. And that's when Tyler started to steam and boil about how he was going to put a stop to his overbearing parents. And the date of the offense of this case is July 16th, 2011. And all his friends knew he wasn't allowed to have parties at his house when his parents were home. And people really didn't believe when he posted at 1:15 in the afternoon that there was going to be a party at his house. Maybe. The only issue standing in his way were that Mary Jo and Blake were home. And how was he going to get away with having a party if his parents were home, knowing that he was grounded? He knew with them being home that wasn't going to happen. However, some of his friends knew he was grounded and were messaging him, like, how do you plan on having this party? You're grounded. Your parents are home. Are you insane? And his response back to his friends was, I don't know. I'm working out the details now. And he would go on to say that his parents left for Orlando, and that at 8:15, he posted again, party is definitely on at my house. And his friends were curious, messaging him, well, what happens if your parents decide they're going to come home and not stay in Orlando? And his response to them was, they won't. Trust me. I got this. And if you're wondering how he was so confident that his parents weren't going to come back from Orlando, well, it's because he had taken a claw hammer and would take it to the back of his mother Mary Jo's head. Now, before he killed her, he took some ecstasy. So he wasn't in his right frame of mind. He thought, man, I'm sober. I'm not going to do this. Let me take some drugs. That's exactly what he did. Now, instead of deciding that this isn't what he wanted to do, he stood behind his mother for a solid 5 minutes, just staring at the back of her head and working up the courage to stand behind her and hit her in the head. So after 5 minutes, he did just that. Popped her in the back of the head with the hammer, the claw side of the hammer. And she turned around and started screaming at him. Why are you doing this? What are you doing? And his dad, hearing the screaming and the yelling, runs into the room that his mother is in and said the same thing his wife did. Why are you doing this to her? What's the issue here? And at that point, he turned around and yelled, "Why the fuck not?" And went after his dad with the same hammer. And he would end up beating them both to death with the hammer. And after he killed them, he dragged his parents into the master bedroom and cleaned up the crime scene. And by clean up the crime scene, he literally tossed everything he could on his parents' bodies and cleaned up the bloody mess before his friends would show up to this party. So after he cleaned up the house, he again posted on Facebook, "Party's definitely happening." And about the time of sunset in July, so 8, 9 o'clock at night, after he brutally murdered his parents and disposed of their bodies in the bedroom and covered them and made sure that they were not visible, if somebody were to open the door, had 60 people show up to his house party. And high school kids will be high school kids, I guess. They played beer pong, put cigarettes out on the walls of the house, and peed on the neighbor's yard. You heard that right. They fucking went and peed on the neighbor's yard. Because why the fuck not? Now, he told some of his friends that his parents were in Orlando, and then would change the story to people he didn't know and say, "My parents don't live here. This is my house. They don't live here." And this would go on for some time during the night, until his best friend, Mike Mandel, showed up. And he proceeds to walk up to his friend and say, quote, "Mike, I killed my parents." And of course, in disbelief, his friend was like, "No, you didn't. Shut up. You're crazy." So, highly insisting they were dead and arguing with his friend that, "Yeah, I did do this," said, "Look in the driveway. All the cars are here. Not a single one of them is missing. They are not in Orlando. I killed them." So, still not believing Tyler's story, Tyler took Mike into the bedroom. And sure enough, he looks down and sees the leg of Tyler's father. However, instead of leaving the party right away, he took a selfie. Yes, he took a selfie with Tyler. And I'll post these pictures on my Facebook page, which is Innocence Lost Kids Who Kill. And you can add that on Facebook if you'd like. Now, he knew this was going to be the last time that he would see his friend. So later that morning, about 4:30 in the morning, Mike left an anonymous tip with Crime Stoppers. And Crime Stoppers would in turn reach out to Port St. Lucie Police Department and send them to the house. Now, when they got to the house, of course, this teenage party is still going on. So he protests, you know, you're not coming in, I'm not letting you in. However, they had gotten the tip that parents were in fact in the house deceased, and they told Tyler, look, we can come in because this was called in as a murder. So they made entry. And at this point, Tyler got real nervous, freaked out, and got real talkative because he was nervous. He knew he was caught. So when police made entry after forcing the bedroom door open, what they found will disgust you. So Tyler threw both of his parents on the floor and then proceeded to toss the mattress onto his parents, dining room chairs, coffee tables. He made sure that he covered his parents. So with this, he was arrested. Now, upon searching the house, they would find Percocets in his room, ecstasy, and just prior to the cops showing up, this idiot sent another Facebook post saying, party's still going on in my house, make sure you get out here. And after he was arrested, he knew he was caught, and he ended up being found guilty of double murder. And he was sentenced to life in prison. Now, some of the things I've seen, he shows absolutely no remorse when he was a teenager. Like, absolutely none. And he was sentenced to life in prison. However, we all know what happened in 2016. Legislature decided underage kids should not be sentenced to life in prison, and he was up for resentencing and reconsideration. And at this reconsideration, this was the first time that he showed any type of remorse. He knew he fucked up. However, because the crime was so horrific and clearly premeditated, he again was sentenced to life in prison. And that's where he still is. He is still in prison to this day. Now, had his friend Mike not called police, would he have gotten away with it? I don't know. But there was a comment where he had told his lawyer that he didn't intend on seeing the next day. He actually intended on committing suicide, taking his own life, because he knew he fucked up and he was going down for it. Now, he clearly had issues. His parents were severely concerned about him, and they had tried to get him help. However, again, this backfired. He went into a complete teenage rage, and at the end of the day, his parents paid the ultimate price. They are no longer here, living and breathing, while he continues to breathe in a jail cell. And he is absolutely where he belongs right now, and for the remainder of his life. And I kind of wonder if anybody he knew would talk to him and ask him, like, dude, what was the reason other than you wanted freedom and you wanted to do what you wanted to do? And at the end of the day, he wanted to have a party. He wanted to do his own thing. He didn't want to be under his parents' thumb. And now he's not, but now he's under the thumb of the state of Florida. and again, right where he belongs for the remainder of his life. Now, I will tell you that in the beginning of his prison sentence, his no remorse was ridiculous. He literally signed pictures and articles from his case with the phrase, "It's hammer time." What the fuck? He was taking pride in what he did at 17 years old. And he sure shit bragged to inmates that he offed his pants and he used the claw side of the hammer. And it boggles my mind that you choose to murder your parents in a way that is so savage and then brag about it and then go on to sign articles about the murder you committed with the phrase hammer time. Because we all know damn well you enjoyed what you did in the beginning. Now again, when he was resentenced in December of 2018, that was the very first time that anybody had seen any remorse out of him, and he apologized to the courts for what he did. However, again, because it was so severe, he was still sentenced to life in prison. He's not going anywhere. He will be in prison until he takes his last breath. And again, exactly where he belongs. So, with that, I have been researching case after case after case, and a lot of them are teenagers who are killing their parents. And I'm starting to see a pattern. And the pattern is, these kids want to do what the fuck they want to do when they want to do it. And a lot of it is drugs, alcohol, mental state, and some parents see it. Mary Jo and Blake seen it. They tried to stop it. Still got them killed. And some parents don't until it's too late. And with that, I am going to go ahead and end this episode. And I hope to see you again in 2 weeks, and I promise there will be no hiccups, no technical errors. The Instagram page will be up within the next 2 weeks. I will give you the Instagram handle as soon as it's up. And again, Facebook at Innocence Lost Kids Who Kill. Send a request and I will add you. We are going to start discussing these cases on Mondays, so it gives you the weekend to listen, and with that, I will talk to you in 2 weeks. Have a good night. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Innocence Lost, Kids Who Kill. I want to thank you for taking the time, again, out of your day to listen to my podcast. I do ask that you rate and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. And you can find the podcast on Facebook at Innocence Lost Kids Who Kill. And I will add that to the show notes. Until next time, have a great day, and I will see you again in 2 weeks. Bye.